I was thinking earlier in the week about, I had a session with the students, but I was thinking earlier in the week before I got in that session that 21 years ago, on the Sunday after 9/11, which was Tuesday, I think, wasn't it that year? Well, Wednesday night, this place was packed on the 12th. This whole church, upstairs, downstairs on Wednesday night, was packed. But that Sunday following this Sunday morning service, and our children were young, they like to go out Pastor and Mrs. Hagen's door because they like to get that candy. I think they had some Smarties at that. Tanner always liked Smarties. I don't know what Emily, she would, whatever it was. But so we went out that door, and Pastor said, "Hey, Miss Hagen and I want to," of course, he said Lynette. He doesn't call her Mrs. Hagen. He called her. "We want to talk to you." And I think I just went blank because I'm thinking, what have I done? What did I do? I did something. I must have done something wrong. What did I do? But anyway, we got together, and they asked me to come be on the RMAI and RAA staff. And at that time, the school schedule was already going, and so there wasn't necessarily anything. But then Tony Cook, who was the dean at the time, gave me a call a few weeks later and said, "Hey, I understand you're coming." He said, "We have double booked one of our instructors, and so we need you to..." So October 8th, I started working here officially and started teaching. And that class was called Preaching with Relevance. Preaching with Relevance. And it was a class to the itinerant group. And one of the main thrust of it was how to take an unchanging message to an ever-changing culture. How to take an unchanging message to the message has never changed, right? But the methods that we use, they do change. But tonight I want to talk about another aspect of that, about not getting infected by the culture. If you got your Bible, go to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. I don't think in the 42 years that I've been a Christian, some of you maybe longer than that, praise the Lord, but in the 42 years I've been a Christian, has there ever been an attack against living according to the Bible in my life that I'm seeing today? The pressure that is in the world to tell us and redefine what is moral, and when the ungodly claim the moral high ground, Pastor talked this morning, I already had this mess in my heart, but he talked this morning about Jesus is coming back. You know Jesus is coming back. Amen. These are as the days of Noah that we're living in. But I want to look at a couple things here tonight. And I'm not doing this in a negative. I'm doing this in, here's what we need to do. This is what we need to do. When it gets dark, the light shines brighter. But as it gets dark, let's ramp our light up. All right? And never, even if we're not careful in the church, you can teach certain messages so it sounds like it's okay not to live right. That's not the case. We got to live right. We're right. Yeah, we're right on the inside, but there's more. As we're taught here, we got a natural side and a spiritual side. And that natural side has been redeemed to the point we've got to put on the new man and live according to what we've become. So I want us to read here in Isaiah chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 13. It says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." Now, Isaiah is writing this just before Israel went into captivity to Babylon. And he's describing what's going on during that day. But you know, the same thing's true today. If we don't have the knowledge of God, we're going to go into captivity. Taken captive. It said, "Their honorable men are famished, their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And the glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it." When you got the leading, listen to me now, I'm not going to name names, but I don't have to name their names, but when you got the leading producer of children's movies and programs having a show called The Demon about the daughter of Satan as a little child, you know hell has opened her mouth wide. Now we know this, Revelation 12 tells us that Satan has come down with great wrath because he knows his time is short. All right? But hey, I want to tell you something. We are the generation that God ordained to be on the earth at this time. We are the ones. And so I'm going to tell you, you got the stuff. Thank God for the message of faith. Never before, I mean, never has it been more important to live by faith than now, and to walk in love and use our authority. Glory to God. He goes on here to say their glory and their multitude, their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. In other words, if you rejoice in all that stuff, you're going to go there yourself. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. In other words, dragging their sin behind them like a trophy. Dragging it behind them. You know, if we're not careful, even Christians, you know, tend to sometimes drag their with a cart. You know, unhook from that cart. Unhook from the cart of sin and the cart of your past, and let's go on with God. Just unhook it, glory to God. He said, woe, you're going to live in woe, or it's going to be trouble for you. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work. You know, there's some people that, and we're going to read it in 2 Peter 2, but because, well, if all these things, you know, if God's really going to do this, let's just let him do it. That's just, where is he? If your God's this, if your God's that, where is he? All right, they're saying that. That we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. But look at verse 20. Woe unto them. Now, this was what was going on in the time of Isaiah, but I want you to see some parallels here. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I was reading in the Preacher's Sermon and Outline Bible, and they have a note here. And says this, confusion about morality prevailed during the days of Isaiah, even as it does today. Moral values no longer controlled the lives of people. Sinking deeper and deeper into sin, they became morally insensitive. Pastor talked this morning about how Christians, even Christians, their hearts are going to grow cold and many fall away. Well, that's because of this. The darkness of sin was substituted for the light of righteousness. They claimed their right to enjoy the pleasures of life as they wished. Sounds like today, doesn't it? In their minds, no person, not even God, had the right to put restraints upon their behavior. Consequently, certain illicit acts were called good despite the fact that God said they were evil. Furthermore, the pronouncement of God's word against sin was called irrelevant and outdated, evil and not good. I'm going to tell you right now, the Word of God is never irrelevant. It is relevant. It is not lost. It's not an archaic book. What the Word says is true. Everything else is a lie. Amen. But that's the big question right now. That's what's being attacked right now. That's what's being gone after by Satan. That's his plan, to undermine the integrity of God's word in the world's thinking, but especially in ours as Christians. Okay? Said the same was true with false worship and materialism, even with stealing and violent behavior. Whatever a person desired to do, he felt he had the freedom to do it. He could worship as he wished and covet what he wished, and no one had the right to rebuke or restrain him. How many of you know they want to make it illegal to speak out against certain sin? They want to say it's a hate crime. No, it's love to tell somebody that they're going to hell if because of these things. It's love to tell somebody there's a right way, that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But we can go his way and we can think his thoughts, glory to God. Said, as a result, there was a complete breakdown of morality and justice within society. People's values became totally twisted and polluted. Evil was called good and good was called evil. Now turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, here in recent times, another commentary on this Isaiah 5 verse 20 talked about how that when you call evil good and good evil, you're trying to redefine terms. And said that is one of the weapons of godless governments, godless governments, is they start redefining terms. Whoever thought you'd live in a day when people didn't know what a woman was or a man was? Hello. Do you know an archaeologist can find bones that are hundreds or thousands of years old, and they can test it and they can tell if it was a man or a woman. They can even tell the ethnicity of that person. But did you know there's a move now to make them stop doing that? Because they say this: how do you know how that person identified? Well, I know this: they weren't crazy like you are. They were a man or they were a woman, and they knew it. You know, you think, it always amazes me that, you know, science wants to tell us, you know, that we're animals, right? We're just animals. Well, if we're like animals, you know, you got to have a male and a female to have other animals of that species. Just a thought, just something to think about there while you're chomping on your hamburger on the way home tonight. All right. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now, see, that's what he said. Whatever I want to do is okay. And you don't have the right to tell me it's not okay. Now, I have the right to tell you that it's not okay that you're telling me it's not okay, but you don't have the right to tell me it's not okay. Because I get to do what I want, but you don't get to do what you want. I've added that. That wasn't in that verse, but I added that part. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, you mark my words, you're going to start hearing this questioning. Well, if you Christians are right, how come Jesus hadn't come back? How come these things haven't happened? How come these final things? Amen? And you know what the answer is? Because God is waiting on you. He's given you another chance. In fact, you talking to me about it right now, this may be your last chance. You have no idea what's coming. This may be your last chance. Maybe you're all upset about this because God's dealing with you. I want you to know right now, God loves you. It's his will that you come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen? See, that's our answer. Glory to God. Now look in Ephesians chapter 4. Now what do we do now? That's what I want to get to. You know, so these things are happening, we know. But, you know, do we just... You know, one of the things we need to do, we need to learn how to speak the word of God out, speak out against these things in a relevant manner. We don't change the message, but we speak in a relevant manner. You know, sometimes we need to learn the terms, right? You know, how many of you know some people taking words and mashing them together, making new words? What was that one you told me today? None ya. You know what that means? None of your business. None ya. I used to hear words like that in the hills in Kentucky when we lived there. There's all kinds of words they say. You're like, yep. Ephesians 4, book of verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Gentile there refers to anybody that's outside of covenant with God. Don't walk in the vanity of your mind. See, it's not about I can do what I want to do and be right with God. Now, this is written to Christians. He's writing this actually to the saints and the faithful. We find out these are spirit-filled folks. These were tongue-talking folks here. He's writing to them, don't walk that way anymore. He said, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. Remember what he said? My people go into captivity for lack of knowledge, living ignorantly of the life of God that's in you. Brothers and sisters, we got the life of God in us. It's going to lead us to do right and live right and treat people right. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Well, that's what he's talking about, those things back there in Isaiah. But you have not so learned Christ, glory to God, if so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now look, that you, everybody say you. See, that means in the King James, I think it says ye. Ye means me. He's talking to me here. He's talking to me, spirit-filled Christian. He's talking to me, child of God. He's talking to me, righteousness of God in Christ. He's talking to me, overcomer through him. He's talking to me who can do all things through Christ who strengthens. He's talking to me. He's talking to you, Christian. That you put off concerning the former conversation or the way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the attitude. The NIV does say attitude of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now notice this. He tells us to put off and to put on. Through the new birth now, we have the divine nature of God on the inside of us. And it's in there. How many of you know it's our spirit man that got born again? Our spirit man's a new creation, a new creature in Christ. And the wording there kind of leads you to believe something that never existed as you. You're a brand new person in Christ. But you still have the same body. And you have the same mind that you did, other than the fact you've made a decision to follow Jesus now and to make him Lord of your life. But the ways of thinking, we have to renew that. And he said, be renewed in the attitude. I like that, the attitude of your mind, the spirit of your mind. There's a new way. This is a radical new way to live life, the Christian life. It's not the way the world lives it. All right, we don't live according to the deceitfulness of lust. We don't live an uncontrolled lifestyle. We live a controlled lifestyle. We're to live soberly and righteously in this present world. We are a light that shines in the darkness. Right? We are the salt. Amen. How many of you have had the great opportunity to go to Israel and you've seen or been in the Dead Sea? All right. The Dead Sea is so full of minerals. If they would ever mine the minerals, they'd be the richest, wealthiest. It's more valuable, all the minerals in that. But I'm going to tell you what, if you go in there and you got what we used to call them hangnails, or some of the ladies, you know, had shaved their legs that morning. They were in shorts. They got in that water, came out. It stings at first, but it instantly heals up. There's people that go there to treat skin disease. Just go out there and float in the water. But you know, salt is, you know, it does a lot of things. It tastes, you know, good, but it also will sting you. You ever get salt in your eye? That's not very good. But salt will melt ice. I mean, salt does, and it preserves. Used to have, you know, have you ever had salted pork or salt? You know, it puts salt on it. In Brazil, when they're going to cook steak, they put sea salt. They put this salt on that picanha. Oh, my goodness. Amen. In fact, my nephew, who's married to a Brazilian, brought me some back. I've got some. I've got a container of it at home. And I'm I'm meal prepping for the week, so don't be coming over tonight. But after church tonight, I'm gonna get my iron skillets out, and I'm gonna cook me up some picanha, some tri-tip steaks. I'm gonna put that salt on there, and that's what I'm gonna be eating the rest of the week during that lunch, sitting in my office. Amen. It's making the whole place smell like a steak dinner. But that's salt. We are the salt of the world. We need to season everywhere we are. We need to melt the icy places everywhere we go. Glory to God. And sometimes we need to sting what's out there. Glory to God. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 12. These aren't new things we're talking about, or new scriptures we're looking at tonight. But put on the new man. Put on the new man. We'll read verse 1 and 2. We'll start in the King James Bible. Then we're going to look at some others. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, here again, notice the responsibility is to us, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove it is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, you know, in the King James Bible, the word you or ye or your, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times that I just offhand just kind of underlined there. I think the idea is that this is what we're supposed to do. This is my responsibility. God has given us this responsibility as it pertains to living as he wants us to live and fulfilling what he's called us to do. Present our bodies. It's a daily presenting. That we're going to, you know, we're told that our body, we belong to God. We're bought with a price. Therefore, we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. To glorify him. Okay? Be not conformed to this world. Listen to the Message Bible. Verse number 2, we're just going to read the rest of these will be other than the last one. These next three will be just verse number 2. This is the Message Bible. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit it to it without even thinking. Let me say that one again. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Here a few years ago, you know, a new term came about and people started using it concerning different things. And I understand the meaning of it. But here's something that sounds good. But in the world, it's taken it to an extreme. And that is the term woke. You know, that's when, you know, and sometimes it was fun. The very people calling people to get woke got mad when people got woke. Amen. And I saw Facebook, I saw people on Facebook just getting bad arguments over wokeness. Well, I was praying about that and looking at this, and I happened to read this in the Message Bible because, you know, you teach a lot from this renewing your mind and different things of that. It's just constant. And I saw that don't become so adjusted to your culture. All of a sudden, this came up out of me. It had to be God. It wasn't me. But it came up out of me. What I mean, in our spirit, where God speaks to all of us in our spirit. But I spoke this out loud. And it was to me, it was almost like I prophesied to myself. Or in other words, thus saith the Lord to Tad. Don't become so so culturally woke that you go spiritually broke. Don't allow the culture to mold you into its image. Amen. You know, and again, he's writing this to Christians. We're not talking to the world now. We're talking to us. We're talking to us, you know. Like I said, we are all those things. We need to know who we are in Christ and renew our mind to that. But don't, he said that you even fit into it without even thinking. He said, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Glory to God. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops a well-formed maturity in you. Now, I went to a college in Illinois that was one of the Harvard and Yale schools that were started in the early 1800s. From about 1820 on, there were several. But by the time they got to Illinois, the first graduating class of my college was 1828. They graduated, and Harvard and Yale was starting these schools to train ministers. They were seminaries, all right? But then they developed within that a liberal branch, and so they became liberal arts colleges, trying to say, we need to be well-rounded. But in doing so, they compromised the Word of God. The head of my religious department, I had mandatory Bible classes I had to take there. The head of the department, the Bible department, he did his best to explain away why what was written there didn't mean what was written. It's like what Pastor said this morning. I think God, you know, why you don't need my opinion on what he said. He said what he said. He talked about Moses in the burning bush. He said, well, all over this campus we have, there's a bush called the burning bush, if you don't know it. He said, we have burning bushes planted all over this campus. He said, you walk by them every day. But you know, not one of them has ever said, take off your shoes. for the place you're standing is holy ground. Amen? I never stopped and looked at one because it was on fire and it wasn't being consumed. But explained away everything. Dragging us down to a level of immaturity. We've talked about it here. Used to say, you know, well, go on to college, get your degree, then come on to Rhema. I think I'd come to Rhema first, folks. Come to Rhema. You young folks that are here, if you're here, or you got influence on young people, tell them to go to Rhema first. Amen. Nothing wrong with getting a degree, but go to Rhema, get yourself established in the Word of God. Amen. And then if you're smart, go to a Bible school. Go to a college that has a degree you want, but it has a Bible base, and they teach the Bible and believe the Bible. Hallelujah. The Living Bible, the old Living Bible, Taylor's paraphrase says this, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your experience how His ways will really satisfy you. Listen to the passion. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. And then I like the Wiest translation. It's an older study, but I like how he has put this. I'll go ahead and read verse 1. It says, I therefore beg of you, please, brethren, through the instrumentality of the aforementioned mercies of God, by a once for all, everybody say once for all. Once for all presentation to place your bodies at the disposal of God. In other words, give it to Him, never take it back. It's interesting with that, just to bring, but as you study the word believe, every time you say I believe, you update. So it's not just a one-time thing. It's not I believed. To believe is a constant active action that you're doing, right? Because, you know, it's possible to have believed and then turn away from that belief and totally renounce what you believed. I heard Pastor Craig, I don't know if it was at the student revival, if it was at Wednesday night, he preached both there. But he talked about how, you know, even there's some folks that had written outstanding songs and that we're using to worship God, now coming out and saying they don't even know if they even believe in God anymore. Amen. Now, I do want to say this. Don't ever get your doctrine from songs. Get it from the Word of God. Now, nothing wrong with song, nothing wrong with worshiping God and singing, you know, but you have to have the Word of God. Glory to God. The Word's the balance for that, not the other way around. You know, it's like one minister said, somebody came to him and said, well, it's like the song said. Well, the song said something opposite of what the Bible said. Amen. Listen to this. He says, place your bodies at the disposal of God, a sacrifice, a living one, a holy one, well-pleasing, your rational, sacred service. Now, I know, listen, the unconditional love of God teaches us that there's nothing I could ever do to stop God from loving me. But it is possible to live a life that's not pleasing to Him. Right? Jesus said, I do always those things that please my Father. Well, isn't he our example? Aren't we made in the image of Christ? Then that should be our goal, is to always do those things that are pleasing to the Father and live a life pleasing. Just because God loves me, hey, God loves the person that's the rankest sinner in the world. It doesn't mean his lifestyle is pleasing to God or that God agrees with that lifestyle. God can love you. God loves me. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Do you love God? And how do you love God? You keep his commandments, he said. John 14. You live the way that's pleasing to him. He goes, now this is verse 2. Stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. Every age, you know, and in the world, every age has brought about more and more darkness, more and more stepping away from the things of God. You know, if you do a good serious study of what happened in this country when we kicked God out of the schools, the morality of this country went down from there. The increase in violent crime is amazingly higher from that point on. Amen. When we told God, we're not going to officially recognize you any longer. And now we have political parties that tell us, they just flat out said, we don't have room for God in our party, in our platform. We don't have room for God. I didn't tell you to vote for, but I can't vote for that. Amen. Now I realize you can't ever elect Jesus because he's not running, but hallelujah. And you know, when you vote, realize this, you're not voting for a new pastor either. I don't know why I'm going to get off on that. Come on, Ted, get back. Come on, come on. Let me ring myself back in here. But an outward expression, where does our expression from the outside need to come from? From within us. Glory to God. We are partakers of the divine nature. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. How many of you know greater is the love that's in us than the hatred that's in the world? Greater is the peace that's in us than the anxiety that's in the world. Greater, 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 greater on the inside. It's in us. God's in us. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in us because it's in Jesus and he's in us. And so we've got whatever it is we're facing, greater is already in us. But we have to, if we allow the outside world to mold us into their shape by pressure, you know, like a little squishy ball or something like that you can squeeze, it will conform to the pressure that you put on it. But once the pressure's off, then it kind of goes back to the way it was. But we're not to be conformed, we're to be transformed like a piece of clay that God is making, shaping from what he's already put inside of us. Amen. So we're not even the same person. Every once in a while, Mrs. Hagin will read that testimony from that young lady that came to school. Every time she reads that, I can't figure out how we let her in school. But anyway, that was me. I was the dean then. I said, okay. Because she was hiding from an abusive situation and really wasn't that concerned. I remember the girl when she was in school. I remember her. And, you know, she was very, you know, stay away. Don't. She was not approachable. She was very, because she had been abused so long. But as she sat there in class, the word of God that she heard, she said she could literally feel the oppression and the chains that had bound her falling off of her. What was happening? Something was happening from the inside out. From the inside out. Hallelujah. And so she ended up staying 3 years and went ahead and moved back home. Because the guy that was abusing her found, but now she knew she had authority and she learned to use that authority. And then God put her in the ministry of helping other ladies, young ladies, who had experienced the same thing, to help them get free. And she came here to hide. Oh, but the word of God. If you just give the word of God a chance, it'll transform you from the inside out. Glory to God. Amen. And I tell you this, you can get so busy transforming that you don't really notice what's going on in culture until you step into the kind of the natural. And you're like, how did that, or what was that? Amen. You know, so much anymore. I've just made up the decision. I don't really need to know what's all going on. I've turned the news off. I don't watch the news. I like the weather. I like to see what's going on with the weather. And they're right some of the time. I took meteorology class in college. I can tell you, it's not an easy thing to do, but they got all this equipment now. Man, how many of you know we're in Oklahoma? They love when those storms come through. I mean, they don't love the damage, but they love when it, man, they'll interrupt anything. The Doppler radar and the you know, now they got this thing, the wind shears and all this. Oh, man, it's entertaining to watch them. They have a good time doing it, I think. Glory to God. Let me finish. He said, but change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind, resulting in you putting to the test what is the will of God, the good and well-pleasing and complete will. And having found that it meets specifications, place your approval upon it. Woo, nothing like living in the will of God. Nothing like living in the will of God. Hallelujah. But let's do our due diligence. We're not going to, through ignorance and through lack of knowledge, go into captivity. We're not going to let this culture, amen, the culture of the world, conform us into its image. We're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, continually renewing my mind. Now, how do I do that? Take every thought captive. Every time you hear something, even if it's like on the TV or it's a newspaper, whatever, you hear that, then you need to take that captive and say, okay, I hear that. What does the word say about that statement right there? What does the word say about that? Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true. Amen? Let God be true. I say it this way for myself. Let God be true and even Tad a liar. If I disagree with God's word, then I'm the liar, not God. Isn't that right? Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you are going to stay spiritually awake and not culturally awake? Amen? You're going to renew your mind. You're going to present your bodies daily. All right? If you're going to do that, just stand up on your feet right now. Let's just thank God for it. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Father God, that you help us. Lord, help us that in these days that we live, that we know, as Pastor said this morning, that Jesus is coming back. These things, we see the signs. We see that we're discerning of the times. But Lord, help us to be the light shining in the darkness. Help us to be the salt of the earth, Lord God. Help us to live in such a way that you are glorified, Father, that Jesus is lifted up. We thank you for it, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. You might be here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't want to leave here tonight without knowing that. Amen. You might be here tonight and you've known Jesus as Lord and Savior, but maybe you've let culture kind of get you going in the wrong direction. Well, praise the Lord. God is always there with an open door and open hands waiting for you to come back. He'll receive you back. Amen. If you're here tonight and you want prayer for anything, I'm going to have a prayer team come right now. You ladies, come up and pray with the ladies. Guys, come up and pray with the guys. Hallelujah. They're going to pray with you according to the word of God, because that's where your answer is. This is your night to maybe accept Jesus for the first time or rededicate your life. You might want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, be endued with power from on high. You can leave here tonight with that very power tonight. Just come on down and they'll pray with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all pray for us. Classes start tomorrow here at the college. And so a lot of people excited about that. How many of you are current students? Let's see your hand. How many current students we got in there all over the place? Praise God. Amen. So be praying for these. Pray for the instructors as we get ready, that we'll have the exact information and revelation needed to teach this year's group. All right. See you Wednesday night. Hour of power. God bless you. You are dismissed.